Well, coming up on August 20th, my next guest will be on stage at the Old Town School of Folk Music Soundtrack of the City. It's a concert at Navy Pier. It's the final one of the season. And who better to send off this year's series than folk Americana singer-songwriter Robbie Foulkes.
Hooray! I'm here!
You did it! You made it!
Now the show gets interesting.
Since we last heard from Robbie, he was nominated for a couple Grammys. This from his album Upland Stories out on Bloodshot. Foulkes is also celebrating the 20th anniversary of his album South Mouth, which really put him on the map with the hit F This Town, which was about his time being a songwriter in Nashville. Robbie Foulkes brought his guitar tonight. He's in studio. Good to see you, Robbie. How are you?
Good to see you, sir.
All right, so before we start, I mean, it wasn't the plan tonight, but Glenn Campbell died today. I mean, what does he mean to you and your music? Tell us what's your thoughts on it.
There's been a load of compromising. Thank God you just played the tune on here and I got the key. On the road to my horizon, I'm going to stay where the lights are shining on me. Like a rhinestone cowboy. I wish I knew the whole thing. He was great. And, you know, people, you know, my age were pretty old. But you remember when the Smothers Brothers took a break and his show came on, and all of a sudden there was this guy picking the great guitar, you know, just sitting around. And Tom Jones would be singing. John Hartford would be playing. That was country music at its best and its most sophisticated then, which was, I think, 1968. And it was a whole different...
Yeah, and it's fun. I mean, it's amazing, too, because to hear today, I mean, they really do credit Glenn Campbell for the crossover.
Right.
The sort of country into pop with the show, but also just his music, that he really was at the forefront of bringing country music to mainstream public.
Well, that story had been going on in country music for a long time and is still going on. Country music's history is just from the beginning of Jimmy Rogers, you know, back in the late 20s. It's been traditionalists for a while, and then the pendulum swings, and then it's these urbane crossover type guys. So, like, just before Glenn Campbell, I don't know how nerdy that I should get with this, but Skeeter Davis had a million seller that top, I think, was the first to top both country and pop, called The End of the World. Don't they know it's the end of the world? Before her, Eddie Arnold, and before him, you know, some of the Western swing guys, and on back to the beginning. And, you know, by the time we get up today, by the time we get up to, like, late 90s and Shania Twain, it becomes really, like, what is this music? It doesn't have any relationship at all, seemingly, to what started it, you know.
And it's funny because there's so many stereotypes in country music, but the idea that there has been more often, maybe you'd know better than I, but this idea that they're diverging paths, that you have you and others who are doing more of a, and the phrase gets overused, but like an alternative country, an alt country, mm-hmm. Americana, Jason Isbell, others who are doing things that you know are getting mainstream attention, and they're almost in a way becoming competitors to contemporary country music that's coming out of Nashville.
Yeah, I think a lot of us, I mean, the lines just aren't so neatly drawn for real. They get drawn pretty fast, and you just go to where it works out for you and where you can make a little money, have an audience, and you feel comfortable. But I think probably Jason Isbell and I and Luke Bryan, say, all, you know, loved George Jones music when we were 5 or 10 years old. And so I think we could all have very plausibly started from the same place. And then depending on, you know, who signs you to a label, what town you live in, what audience you eventually find, then those walls start coming down and the names start getting affixed. Yeah. And you really do sometimes go off in divergent directions.
You know, you spent, and I kind of brought it up, the 20th anniversary of the album, South Mouth, which was, you know, had the song F This Town, but it was about really your time in Nashville. You went down to be a songwriter in the 90s. It didn't necessarily work out in the way that you were exposed to something that you didn't think. The song's all about pushback to that, the idea of what Nashville is and what you were trying to accomplish there. But talk about that. I mean, it's interesting to think that experience now, to celebrate 20th anniversary, to think of Nashville today, they're extremely different towns.
It's so different that now I go down and play the Grand Ole Opry, and sometimes when I do that, I can't believe I'm the same guy that was, like, cursing the town, like, not too long ago. Well, it's been a long time. It's been 20 years. But the town really has changed, and You know, it's like Brooklyn now. You go down there, and I went out with an old songwriter the other week, and I said, "Where should we go to dinner?" He said, "I don't know. I don't know any of the places here anymore." You know, a guy that had lived there since 1958. So the town is just like, it's a huge boom town. It's, and whole sections of it are unrecognizable anymore. Musically, I'm not an expert about modern country music by a long shot, but I think it probably hasn't changed so dramatically in the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, I think that from those days of Shania Twain and Toby Keith, which was the very end of when I was involved with it, you know, as a writer, that it's still recognizable now from what it was then.
You know, there's something I love, the romanticism, and again, I, from the outside, but this idea of being a musician and going to Nashville to be a songwriter,
mm-hmm.
to go there with your craft and your guitar and be able to write songs for other musicians and actually have an outlet that is this town, not unlike what LA used to be for the music industry, but for rock and maybe rap, but there's a romanticism to that notion of I'm going to go there and I'm going to write great country
songs. Exciting. Yeah, that's how you get movies like the one that Peter Bogdanovich did, I can't remember the name, but based on the Bluebird Cafe, and you know, and the movie Nashville by Robert Altman. All these movies, you know, feature a character who coming to town with a dusty suitcase and a guitar slung over his shoulder. Very romantic. And I mean, there's three places to go to make it in music in America, but that place is the place with an identifiable, very specific musical style attached to it. And not only a musical style, but themes in the music, you know, the theme of home and of nostalgia and heartbreak and kitchen sink themes. And so that's, I think, what a big thing that draws me and a lot of writers and singers to it.
Robbie Foulkes, my guest in studio, Chicagoan, who was nominated for a couple Grammys for his last record, Upland Stories, out on Bloodshot. Let's do this. Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll get some live music. Robbie Foulkes is going to be playing August 20th at Navy Pier as part of the Old Town School of Folk Music's Soundtrack of the City, which is a series of shows that happened at Navy Pier. The final one of the season is August 20th. Robbie Foulkes in studio. Stay with us. Robbie Foulkes in studio tonight on A Download, 720 WGN. Of course, the great Chicago musician, Americana roots singer-songwriter. His album, Upland Stories, you were in when that just came out on Bloodshot.
Yeah.
And nominated for a couple Grammys. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Are you changed? Did it change you?
I'm really pompous and inaccessible now. No, here I am, back with you. And
I love the fact. I mean, it was for a... Folk was best folk, right?
Right, and best
and then the single off the folk, yeah, right.
Something song, yeah. So it was fun. My whole family was out there, and there's two sort of ceremonies. One where you where most of the awards get handed out. Like there's 60 awards over the course of 3 hours, and you're in an auditorium with a couple thousand people, and then you go to the Staples Center. And that's the telecast,
right.
And that's like really mostly just music and entertainment. And I think there's probably like 8 awards handed out over the course of those 3 or 3.5
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, right.
But it's a long day, and to my slight surprise, the whole thing was like really enjoyable, especially the telecast, like so enjoyable. Like, I mean, maybe people listening saw it, but they've got the singer Beyonce. They've got the singer, what are their names, Pentatonics. They got this Katy Perry. They got this, oh my God, Bruno Mars. Like, and these
What's it like being in the space? I mean, is it a great performance, or is it performance for the television where you're like, I don't know what's happening?
They're performing for the television, but, you know, we got pretty good seats, and... The point is, yeah, you're right. They're facing a camera and performing for a camera. And the space is really all about these, like, sort of Albert Brooks weird figures running around with helmets on, like these camera people and tech people that are out, like, outer space types. But no, there's Lady Gaga breathing fire in front of you. And all these people just pick up a microphone and turn it on. And they're really singing. Like, most of them were really singing and playing, and to that extent, it's like, oh, they do what I do, you know? Except they sound like this, you know? It's unbelievable.
Well, it's I always think about that when you're watching it, it's just the people that are in, that are watching it, if it's worth the performance, and it sounds like it is. Because whenever I see it on TV, I'm like, I wonder if I was in the sixth row if I could even hear it.
Right. The sound was good. And there was a little screw up with Adele. She sounded great too. She cursed and then she started the song all over again, and it was a tense moment. But no, it plays definitely as a live event, and it's sort of more unbelievable being there and seeing the liveness of it, that it's really happening, than watching it on a two-dimensional screen where you somehow assume it's just like Friends or some other televised entertainment, you know?
Well, I mean, Upland Stories is such a great record, and I listened to it again today. It's so
it
fun.
It deserved the Grammys, didn't it?
It deserved it. It deserved it. But, I mean, you know, a lot, I mean, it was, I don't want to say it's a departure for your music because you've been pretty steady and consistent, but even listening back to 20th anniversary of South Mouth, which you listened to today as well, a different kind of sound. I mean, a twangier kind of almost, I don't know what the word would be, you know, music from 1997 to what you were doing with Upland. Do you talk about the evolution of your music and your career? Do you find yourself listening back to the stuff you did 20 years ago, an album like that, and saying, that's you know, I want to go back there and do that again? Or are you like, that's not my sound anymore?
I don't know. I try not to listen to it. You know, it comes up every once in a while on the shuffle, and I'll listen. Like, I won't skip it. I'll like, oh, that's interesting, you know, that I was doing that. But I think that old stuff, I mean, you do as well as you can do at the time, and that's sort of the thing to bear in mind, even when you listen to it and wince 20 or 25 years later. You know, my voice when I'm young sounds like, bah, 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 bah. You know, I sound kind of like Gilbert Gottfried country music or something like that. It sounds so chirpy and high-pitched. I'm just older. I'm older now, and I have slightly different tastes maybe than before. Yeah. The stuff I was doing at the when I first started making records under my own name, which I had already been making records with other people and stuff before that for 10 years, but from the mid-90s under my own name, like, it was a time when I was really, like, just freshly in love with, like, 50s country, say, this specific thing, and I was just really into mining that vein.
Yeah, that's the sound, yeah.
Yeah, I love it, and I still love it, but I've just kind of opened up, and, you know, one thing is when you're on the road with different musicians, you hear what they hear, and you learn about their tastes, and I learned that I needed to open up some and learn about other kinds of music, and so, I don't know, you know, you just, like, get interested in different things along the way.
Well, let's hear some live music. What do you want to play? Because you have you could play something from when you were, you know, a young Turk. You could play something from Upland. What do you want to play?
Oh, well, now that we're on the subject, why don't I do one of each? I mean, I'll do chronologically. I'll do an earlier one. Let's see.
Robbie Foulkes in studio tonight here on 720 WGN, The Download, as he tunes by request. He was all ready to do his single he does in all the radio stations. And I start talking about something from 20 years ago. He's like, yeah, no, we'll do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'll do this one. It's a short, and it's from South Mouth, and it's a love song, and it's one of only, like, two love songs that I've ever written. So here we go.
All right, here it is.
Pay attention. I push right over, built wide and 6'5", but I push right over. Just get me in a room that's dark, and you're looking at an easy mark. One little kiss trips my heart, and jump starts my motor. Way down, I'm a soft touch, I push right over. You don't need to say much, because I push right over. So baby, go dim that light, start pushing with all your might, and hold on tight, and I'll push right over. Sober, I
in that light. Start pushing with all your might. And hold on tight and I'll push right over.
Yeah, there you go. Robbie Foulkes in studio tonight. There you go. Love song from 20 years ago from the album South Mouth, which, again, you didn't even know you were celebrating 20th. I'm pulling out all the anniversary stops for you.
Gee, so it's August now? That was 20 years ago?
Yeah, so
August?
1997. I don't know what the month, but it's a 1997.
Oh, gotcha.
So
okay.
Yeah. So no big celebrations.
You make it sound so momentous. I got to go home and have some bourbon or something.
Yeah,
I
it's guess. Like the unveiling of the Picasso. It's the same idea. Robbie Foulkes' 20th anniversary.
Buffet, maybe. All right.
Robbie Foulkes in studio. His latest album, Upland Stories, out on Bloodshot. And he will be playing on August 20th at the Old Town School of Folk Music's Soundtrack of the City concert at Navy Pier. It's the final one of the season, August 20th. All right, what we'll do is we'll take a break. We'll get an update on tonight's news, and we'll continue conversation, more music with Robbie Foulkes here on The Download. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. It's The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me tonight, Robbie Foulkes, the Grammy-nominated artist from Chicago who is Americana roots musician. I feel like those categories are so wrong. Are they wrong? Are they right? I mean, they seem to be somewhere in the area. I always get tripped up on what to call people who used to be called alt country.
Yeah. You're asking the wrong guy. I don't know.
Well, at some point, like, alt country became sort of, no, it's not alt country. It's roots or Americana. Really? Americana is what I settled on.
Well, Americana seems to be the one that, you know, they recognize at the Grammys. So I would say that has the heaviest currency, probably.
Anyway, Chicagoan Robbie Foulkes. How about that?
Chicagoan?
Yeah.
No, that's even worse. That's Chicagoan? What does that mean?
Chicago area musician.
Okay.
Chicagoland musician.
All right.
He's playing August 20th.
Like Peter Cetera, that kind of music?
Yeah, right. That's exactly what when I think Robbie Foulkes, I think Peter Cetera. He will be on stage at the Old Town School of Folk Music's Soundtrack of the City concert at Navy Pier. We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. It's the final one of the season at Navy Pier. It's going to be on August 20th. Robbie Foulkes in studio. So right before the break, we played some of your older stuff, 20th anniversary of South Mouth. Let's play another one. What do you want to play now?
Well, you know, over the break we were talking about Parenthood, so I'll play you one about that. It's from the latest record, and it's called Needed. In Daddy's car with three stone friends and a fake ID. Fresh out of school, not a care in the world at all. In my 18th summer, life never was so free. And it was just then that the chains began to fall. She was dark-haired, she was wild-eyed. I was helpless and spellbound. What she made me feel was strange back then, but I know what it was now. Needed, something about needed leaves every other word weak and small. Needed, when you're really needed, you can rise to meet it, or you can fall. For what happened next, I offer no excuse. Maybe we were drawn to what our parents said was sin. But in our passion, we saw just one thing to do. Throw ourselves at each other and caution to the wind. She longed to keep it. I said, no, I had
my future to think of, and in her darkest hour she learned what young men won't do for love. Needed something about needed, pointed straight at my freedom like a loaded gun. Needed when you're really needed, some rise to meet it, and some of us run. Can you imagine all those years ago, and I thought I'd reach the end? But passion cools, life goes on, and old wounds mostly mend. When your mom and I were married, such better days began. And when you were born is when I became a man. Where you're headed now is not really mine to say. You've been more than patient to hear my story through. But now you are 18 and on your way. There are some few simple things I wish for you, that you will steer past shallow freedoms as you follow your own star. And when your life is at its darkest, just remember that you are needed. Something about needed leaves every other word weak and small. Needed, I hope you know you're needed, that you'll rise to meet it and never shall fall.
Robbie Foulkes in studio, 720 WGN, here on The Download. Great, great song. Robbie's going to be playing on August 20th. Navy Pier as part of the Old Town School of Folk Music Soundtrack of the City concert. What is this concert? I mean, this is the final one of the year. This is a series that's put on by Old Town.
Yeah, they're doing a bunch of shows that mean to demonstrate the connection of Chicago to a bunch of different genres, I guess sort of what you would call folkloric genres. And in this case, country music, which goes back in the city to 1924 when the barn dance started, was the first sort of big commercial country enterprise on radio. And then to the present day when it's losers like me carrying the torch. And
that's the name of the series, Losers Like Me.
Losers Like Me is the subtitle of the thing. No, it's going to be fun because it's a one-time only thing. And so most of the songs that we'll be doing are just kind of one-time only events. And in the band are people that have been carrying the torch in Chicago for a long time. John Rice, the legendary guitarist. Brian Wilkie, who's in the great band The Hoyle Brothers, the sort of preeminent honky-tonk band of today in Chicago. They're in the band. And guests include Yvonne Gage, who sings with Aretha Franklin, and who I'm a big fan of her 80s catalog, such as Doing It in a Haunted House. People should check out on the YouTube. Leslie Buechelman from Chicago Big Band. Eric Schneider, the great clarinetist, tenor sax player. So a real omnium gatherum of weirdos over there.
Okay, so August 20th, Robbie will be on stage for that, the Old Town School of Folk Music Soundtrack of the City concert at Navy Pier. You know, last time you were in, we talked about Upland Stories, and we talked a lot about the music and the stories of where it came from, and the music and performances as well. And the one thing that I missed, and I don't think we talked about at all, is that the producer of this record is Steve Albini.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's amazing to me. You don't think Steve Albini, a guy who made his name in sort of alternative rock, would be a producer on an album that's pretty much acoustic songs.
You know, Steve, I met him In 1986, we did our first recordings together. So he and I've known him as long as anybody almost in this city. And I met him through a mutual friend who was in his old band, Big Black, back in the day. And we worked at a law firm not real far from here, a couple blocks from here, called Jenner and Block. And anyway, I'd heard about this guy, this weird punk guy who went to Northwestern and whose project was that what did he do? He stood out like on Sheridan Avenue by Northwestern behind a plexiglass plate that was supposedly impermeable. Do you know this story?
I think I do, but tell it.
Yeah. And he just said the most vile things to passersby and invited them to throw bricks and try to break the plexiglass shield. And I think it did break, and he kind of had to run away like a scalded dog. But I thought, I got to meet this guy, and we got to be friends. And he's recorded. The word's probably not produced. I think I'm listed as the producer of the record. But he recorded like probably half my stuff in the years since then, you know.
I mean, what is the value of having someone that you've known for that long, that you've worked with in the past, and someone like Steve, when recording a record like this?
Well, you know what to expect. So I don't go into his place expecting that it's going to come out sounding like a Beyonce record or something like that. Not that, I mean, I might want that. I don't know. But I know what to expect, what it's going to more or less, the aesthetic of the sound is going to be. And it's so efficient because, you know, you can communicate with a guy easily. You're not worried about hurting his feelings or saying, you both just speak each other's language,
right,
and
right.
You're comfortable. So it's quicker than it would otherwise be.
You know, it's interesting because we had a long conversation. I listened to a little bit today, just getting ready for this, about the Upland stories and where the music comes from. And I was reading another piece you did where you wrote an essay just about, you know, as you deal with the writing characters or writing songs that are about characters or singing songs that are about characters. And that's always been a real preeminent part of country music, is writing about the characters around. And we see in this political climate in 2016 where we find our country being more divisive and you have this sort of cosmopolitan, to borrow from Stephen Miller, cosmopolitan bias in the cities and an uncosmopolitan style in the
is
South.
Is that from the Stephen Miller band?
Yes.
The same one?
Same guy. No, but this idea of like even we're dividing our country in the way that, you know, where we're from or what region of the country we're at and stereotypes kind of come out of that. When you're a musician and you're writing stories about an area that you're familiar with, but at the same time you don't live there now and you live in a different place, how do you make sure there's empathy? How do you make sure that the stories of those characters in your music aren't stereotypical?
Well, that's kind of a deep question that you could talk all night about. I think that one thing is I try to avoid point making in songs. Like, I'm not out to deliver a specific message. I'm not out to say, for instance, vote for this guy and then things will be better, or support this approach to funding, you know, kids' colleges or something. You know, it's never that. And in country music, it's kind of easy to avoid that because for the most part, country music deals with individual people. You know, and in family units and small community units, but I don't feel like it naturally offers me a lot of chances to make a fool out of myself and get up on a soapbox the way
maybe some
other kinds of music might tempt me to do. I mean, in country music, and then the other thing is like the red and the blue dichotomy, I feel is false, and I feel like the statistics kind of bear that out because the areas, you know, a blue area is just, you know, 52% blue, and a red area is like 51% red or whatever it is. It's like there's small margins that push an area this way or that way. When Merle Haggard did that Okie from Muskogee, I was thinking when you were talking, it was like red meat to a certain kind of audience, but did he believe it or not? You couldn't tell from the way he was singing it. Was he singing it with a wink? Was he doing it for a lark? And it seemed like the way he talked about that song later that he kind of was. And then once you say, okay, well, it was a lark for him, what about the audience? Did they take it as, you know, rise up and kill somebody? Or did they take a serious radical message out of that, I don't know, on the surface, radical lyrics that he was singing? I don't think that they did. I think they were having a good time.
Enjoying it.
And I think these things are less menacing than they sometimes appear. Although to me, the current administration is more menacing maybe than it appears.
Well, I wonder, you know, because we find ourselves falling back into these stereotypes where who's a Trump supporter, who lives where, you can tell, you know. And then I it's funny because I think there was one of the country music festivals were coming through, and there were country music that was I was playing contemporary stuff, and they were there was a song that was just about the city slickers, city folk. You know, like, and there seems to be, I mean, in country music and a dichotomy that's like, well, you know, you could stereotype one way or the other. I mean, this idea of who lives here and who lives there and who lives in the cities and who lives in the country. But there, you do look to the music in a way to sort of find the truth. You know, this idea that you don't want to play in stereotypes because that doesn't really help anybody.
Yeah, there's a section of country music populated by guys like Charlie Daniels that play very directly into those sentiments, and some, you know, Toby Keith songs and stuff like that. And that's perfectly obvious, and that's their prerogative. But in general, I think the mandate to keep it, as I said, focused on the individual on the individual level and people with their problems, that's universal. And that attention to the problems of love and dying and hearts broken, people breaking up, raising children, all that stuff. I mean, ideology doesn't even enter into it.
Tour's coming up here. You got some interesting places you're going. I mean, you live your life on tour. You know, I mean, it's interesting because you don't do the residency anymore at the Hideout, and you find yourself more often than not on the road. How's that life suiting you?
It's been great for the last, you know, 25, 30 years. So, I mean, it's how I kind of make money, really. And, it's fun. You know, if I spend, like, I've had 2 weeks off here without gigs for the last 2 weeks, and I get antsy.
I was going to say, what do you do with yourself?
The ninth day, you know, I'm ready to go.
You find a radio station to come in and play some songs.
Yeah, I call you and beg you to let me
I just
come
need, in. I need to pretend like I'm on tour. I need to come into the radio station.
Yeah, this is the greatest kind of pretending. There's an audience of literally 8 people out there. Hello, people. Nice fashions. People are wearing nice clothes these days. It's not like when I was a kid, dressed in rags out here on Michigan Avenue.
Well, Robbie Folk's going to be at the Old Town School of Folk Music Soundtrack of the City concert at Navy Pier coming up on August 20th. Of course, Robbie, the last album was Upland Stories, Bloodshot. That was, I mean, that's last year, a year and a half now. Are you thinking about new music? Or?
Yeah, I'm working on a record with Linda Gale Lewis, who's Jerry Lee's great sister, who plays piano pretty much like him and sings like him. And she's been in his act since the 60s. And it started as a record of hers that I was producing, and it ended up being a duo record of the two of us. But that's probably the thing that'll be next out of the gate next year.
You want to play one more on the way out? You got time for it, or you got it? I know that you got.
I got to run. I got a funeral to go to. And no, I'll play another one.
I can't resist. Robbie Folk's in studio. He, of course, is going to be on stage at Navy Pier as part of the Soundtrack of the City show, the Old Town School of Folk Music series. That's at Navy Pier. It's on August 20th. Upland Stories, the latest on Bloodshot. Robbie Folk's in studio. What are you going to play, bud?
Well, it's ryegrass in the wintertime, flowers in the spring, but Texas in the summer is nigh on suffering. Hiving up on Jackson Hill at a diner, I sat down and I waited every stranger just to move the air around. It's a long ride for the little I gain. Hey, when I let that Brooklyn girl, I never thought it through. She had silk brocade in her bedroom and a job that paid for two. I think I'll get down the old guitar and see what I may find. Get a dollar off some lawyer on the number 7 line. It's long to ride for the little I gain. Will treat you kind when your wallet's in your hand, but a six string on your shoulder could be the devil's brand. They'll put themselves above you, but for all their strut and brag, I'd trade every brick on Wall Street for one Black Mountain rag. It's a long ride for the little I gain. They run back to my boyhood if I could only go. There's a little girl that stole my heart and I think she'd like to know. But the road it goes but one way and the only goal in sight is to make a bit more in the daytime than I drink down at night. It's a long ride for the little I gain. Fair and they all sing right on key, but I went down and I never found one sang as good as me. And they say that there's a wondrous land for any good man that dies. Well, if it's got drink and women, then I'll be surprised. It's long to ride for the little I gain.
Yeah. Robbie Foulkes in studio tonight. Awesome to have him here, man. Just the greatest.
Thanks for having me, sir.
It's so good to have you here.
It's a great show. I love this show.
I love having you here, man.
I'm privileged to be here.
It's amazing to have such talent in studio. You can see him on stage at Navy Pier as part of the Old Town School of Folk Music series, Soundtrack of the City. It's on August 20th. Robbie, great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Justin.